Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
Today, we're going to talk about the issue of hepatitis C, something that is increasingly common in most of our practices, particularly remembering that a decade or so ago, we didn't even know that this guy existed, and now it is a major disease. Hepatitis C virus causes about 40% of all chronic liver disease here in the U.S. Hepatitis C-associated cirrhosis, the most common indication for liver transplantation. Just as an aside, the hepatitis C virus remains a problem even after transplantation, in that the virus is never eradicated. In fact, the recurrence rate of hepatitis C following transplantation is well over 95%. This week, we're not going to talk about liver transplantation, but we are going to talk about whether it makes any sense at all to screen for hepatitis C in high-risk patients. This was an abstract that was published in the American Journal of Gastroenterology. What did the authors find, Mark?
Well, yeah, hepatitis C screening is one of those things where the major organizations haven't agreed on the correct approach here. The CDC says we ought to screen high-risk patients for hepatitis C infection. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force found insufficient evidence to support that recommendation. This is a very nice study. They took advantage of a protocol that was in place at the VA hospital in Providence, Rhode Island, where every patient shown up between 1998 and 2004 completed a survey regarding their risk factors for hepatitis C virus. Those risk factors were being a Vietnam veteran, blood products before 1992, any history of IV drug or cocaine use, 5 or more drinks for 10 or more years, 10 or more lifetime sexual partners, any men who have sex with men, blood exposure, hemodialysis, tattoo, history of HIV or hepatitis B, or any history of unexplained liver disease. So pretty broad net. Anyone with any of these risk factors was invited to undergo testing for hepatitis C. They screened about 25,700 men. Of those, a third had a risk factor. So 8,400 had a risk factor. And of that group, 5,646 agreed to be tested. So we started with 25,000 who took the survey. We ended up with 5,600 who agreed to the blood test. There were 412 with a positive hepatitis C virus test. So that's 1.6% of that entire group of 25,000. 260 of those 400 were newly diagnosed. The remainder, they actually already had hepatitis C documented in their medical record. So of the 260 who are newly diagnosed, they couldn't contact or get a hold of 148 for further evaluation. 112 did undergo complete evaluation, and 70% of those had a history of IV drug use or blood transfusion prior to 1992. So those were the main risk factors. About half of the patients were treatment candidates. So about 57 of the guys were treatment candidates, but they looked several years later, in 2007, and at that time, only 18 patients of the 57 who were treatment candidates had actually agreed to undergo a course of treatment, and only 6 of those had a sustained virological response. So really, the goal of the screening is not just to find people, it's to successfully treat them, and in this case, we measure that by sustained virological response. So they basically started off with 25,000. They did 5,600 blood tests, and they ended up treating 6 patients successfully. So the number needed to screen, if you look at the whole population, was about 4,000. And if you only look at those with risk factors who agreed to be tested, it's about 1,000. So you need to screen about 1,000 people to have one successful treatment.
Any idea how much it costs to do a screening test?
They didn't report the cost data, but obviously, that's the obvious question. I mean, it's not only the cost of the test, but obviously once you have a positive test, these patients will typically undergo a biopsy. Treatment is not trivial, the cost of treatment. And so, very expensive, probably And I think this would be a good opportunity with this kind of data for a cost-effectiveness analysis. But, you know, if you have a number needed to screen of 1,000, and even if it only costs $100 per, you know, you're talking $100,000 per cure. Now, we may decide that's worth it. That's sort of a policy issue. But I think it's a good illustration of how, you know, a really good idea, well-meaning, resulted in a relatively modest yield in terms of actual clinical benefit.
Right. Again, I think that we could probably make some inroads into that number, the 1,000, by having very careful discussions with people to determine, you know, if they were positive, would they want to do something? And again, the cost of interferon is one factor, but the other is that it makes you feel rotten. And lots of people, for quality of life, decide not to undergo that. And if you could get those people that just were not interested in the treatment out of the pool, mm-hmm. you could at least reduce that number somewhat. Who knows how much? But
absolutely. And you know, also, if just figuring out who already has a positive HCV, they could have, you know, prevented some people from getting the testing and follow-up. So.
Right. Anyways, very interesting, and it reminds us how important it is to you know, not all, every test is a good test. It has to be applied to the right population.
Yep. Great point.
Very interesting abstract. We'll talk with you again next week, Mark. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Bye-bye.
Okay.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.